throw from the rafter center fielder keeps us tied at six. My goodness. On the money. Oh, man. And that absolutely robbed the pit spitters of a run. Just incredible. And so now it's two away in the top of the 10th inning with a runner on second base in Brandon Sanchez. I mean, I am in disbelief from that throw as this pitch misses outside for ball number one. And Gunnar Myro, man, he was the runner that came across to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth. Now comes up big to keep the game tied with a defensive throw from center field, nailing him at home plate. 1-0 count, breaking ball. Check swing, did he go? No, he didn't. Misses low. Brings the count 2-0. And so Sanchez had the potentially go-ahead single, but not able to send him home. 2-0 count. This one is a fly ball, foul towards the right field line, and it's going into the pit spitter's bullpen. A 2-1 count. And Morales trying to keep this game tied. He's back on the mound trying to go what would be 3-up, 3-down, thanks to the runner that started on second being thrown out at home. This pitch misses away. It's a 3-1 count. And Morales, looking at how he's pitched this season, he's worked down to a 6.97 ERA. He really struggled as a starter in his first game, allowing four runs in two innings. His second appearance came out of the pen. 3-1 count on the way home. Gets a big swing and a miss from Roseman. 3-2 count. And then since that second appearance, he's been lights out. Just the one run allowed and in 7 1/3 innings over his last three appearances. Now one run was an earned run. Runner taking off from second. Throw on down from Adrian. It's a little late. And so a stolen base on the 3-2 count puts the go-ahead runner 90 feet away from scoring. And the walk puts Brett Roseman onto first base. So not quite out of it yet. And you really can't waste that beautiful throw from Gunnar Myro. Is now the pit spitters have runners on the corners with two outs in the top of the 10th inning. Still tied at six. Morales bringing it home. Runner taking off from first. Defensive indifference. They will not throw down. And so on the ball, Brett Roseman advances to second. Runners on second and third with two away. A 1-0 count to Cole Prout. It's taken for strike number one. 1-1 to Prout. And the Rafters will start the inning with Hiroto Kobayashi at second base unless they go to a pinch runner. So Rafters fans hoping that they can keep it scoreless here. 1-1 count. Swing and a miss. He was early on that one. Great change of pace. 84 miles an hour from Morales, and enough to get the swing and a miss. 1-2 the count to the left-handed hitter, Cole Prout. It's a lefty-lefty matchup. Can the Rafters pitcher Morales get out of it? Runners on second and third. 1-2. It's a little away to go 2-2. The Rafters will need the offense to get clicking. They've got J.J. Garcia and Drew Thompson due up with Mason Onyade behind him. 2-2 the count. The crowd is getting loud here at Witter Field. A great night for baseball. 2-2 count. It's a breaking ball that just misses away. Couldn't induce the swing. I mean, that is a tough pitch to hold back on. But Cole Prout didn't like it. So it's a 3-2 count with two away. Runners on second and third. Morales still trying to finish it. He just needs one strike to keep this game tied into the bottom of the 10th. Morales brings it home, and it's upstairs for ball number four. They are loaded. Cole Prout now on first base with the walk from Morales. Brett Roseman is on second. Brandon Sanchez is on third. Two outs in the top of the 10th inning. And a quick infield mound visit as Noah Ruiz and Mason Onyade will go to talk with Morales to make sure that he's all good to go. So time called here as the Rafters will hope to bring things to themselves for a chance to win it with just a couple of sacrifices. If they're able to work out of this inning, that's all that they need. Two sacrifices would end it, but we'll see if that's what they choose to go with when they're back up at the plate. J.J. Garcia leading off the 10th for the Rafters. You know that he's a guy that will 100% put down a bunt there. He's shown it off multiple times, and he's been successful with those bunts. Continues working on them in practice. And it'd be interesting to see if Drew Thompson would come up or if they move to a pinch hitter to try and walk it off. Either way, it's two outs. Rafters have to get through this. Two outs, bases loaded. Batter at the plate, swings and misses for strike number one. It's Adam Broski up at the plate. And he was the go-ahead run in the ninth inning, coming around to score on the RBI from Nathaniel Coupe. He's back up at the plate here. Right-handed hitting catcher for the pit spitters. He's got the bases loaded with two outs in the top of the 10th. This pitch, a little outside, brings it back even, 1-1. And the Rafters trying to stop their four-game losing streak. They're looking for their first home win since June 4th. 1-1 count on the way. It's fouled back, and once again, pit spitters down to their last strike in the 10th inning. And it's up to Adam Broski to keep the inning alive. On the game, Broski is 2-for-5 on the game. Both of his hits were singles, but a single would do some damage here. That was his last time up in the 9th inning. He let it off with a single. He also singled in the 2nd. 1-2 count, two away with the bases loaded in the 10th. Pitch on the way. It misses high and outside to bring it 2-2. And it's a righty-lefty matchup out here. Works in favor of Broski and hoping to use that to his advantage. Entered today batting 256, but looking for his third hit of the game. Either that or a walk would work. 2-2 count. It misses well outside, and it's back to a full count for the third straight batter. And you just can't issue a walk in this spot. Morales has all the pressure in the world to get this one across the plate and finish the 10th inning. It's tied 6-6. 3-2 count with two away. Bases loaded in the top of the 10th. Morales trying to get out of it. They go. It is a little low for ball number four, and the pit spitters have the lead. It's 7-6 Traverse City in the top of the 10th. The Rafters can't get out of the damage. Three straight walks from Alejandro Morales, and it sends home Brandon Sanchez on that one. Brings up Hunter Herndon with two outs and the bases still loaded. Herndon, a right-handed hitter. It's a righty-lefty matchup. This pitch is in there for a strike. An 0-1 count to him, and Herndon on the game. He is 0-for-4 with a sacrifice hit, and he reached on a fielder's choice the one time he was aboard. But he was caught stealing, would have been caught stealing second, as that one's in there for strike number two. That was one of the odd plays that he tried stealing second, but the batter's interference of Nathaniel Coupe ended that seventh inning. He's trying to come up clutch here. It's already a one-run pit spitters lead in the top of the 10th. 7-6, bases loaded with two away. 0-2 count coming home, and it's fouled back. So Herndon stays alive, and Morales now throwing all the strikes. He really struggled finding that zone. It's still an 0-2 count. Trying not to walk his fourth straight batter. Morales looking to bring it home. The 0-2 count. It's hit to the right side of the infield. Picked up by Akko, and he will step on the bag himself for out number three. But the go-ahead run came across. One run on one hit. No errors. And there were three left on base. It's 7-6 Traverse City. Rafters have to tie it up again or take the lead when we return here in the bottom of the ninth on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Okay, so the game didn't quite go the way that the Rafters fans wanted it in the top of the 10th inning, as it currently remains a game where the Rafters are down 7-6. Bottom of the 10th here, trying to tie it up or walk it off. They've got a runner on second base. And the first pitch to J.J. Garcia, he shows bump, but it's taken for strike number one. Garcia up at the plate. This is his second plate appearance of the game. He struck out after the 11th pitch of the plate appearance in the 8th inning. The runner on second, it's Hiroto Kobayashi. Pitch on the way home. It's a bunt down that third base line. It's going to be enough to move that runner and back to first. He's not in time, but the runner is moved forward. Big time is... Now there is one out. Runner on third base and a pinch hitter for the Rafters. Actually, looks like that's not Hiroto Kobayashi. That is Chris Diaz. That came into the game for Kobayashi. So Chris Diaz is now on third base. He was a pinch runner to start off this inning. Came over on J.J. Garcia's bunt and a pinch hitter here, as I had expected. And the pinch hitter in this case, it's Pat Costin. And Pat Costin looking to tie the game up. The pinch hitter for the Rafters going to try and put one down as... It's one out, runner on third base. 7-6 lead for the pit spitters. The first pitch, he was looking like he was going to go full swing there, but it's taken outside for ball number one. So a 1-0 count to Pat Costin. Nobody on first or second. It's a 1-0 count in the bottom of the 10th. And Costin, again, not showing bunt, but it's taken high for ball number two. Costin came in for Drew Thompson. After Thompson came in for Luke Skinner, Thompson and Skinner combined to go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Not the game that they wanted from the 9-hole spot, but Costin could come through big. 2-0 count, it's outside, and you could hear a pin drop in this stadium as they are waiting to see what happens with Costin. A 3-0 count. Worth noting, a new pitcher, Ricky Kidd, on the mound for the pit spitters. Hit in after Cooper McMullen went two innings as this pitch is in there for strike number one. Costin was going to take that one no matter what. Of course, he represents the go-ahead run. Good chance they go for a pinch runner if he gets aboard, but really, he's got to send that tying runner home. It's a one-run game in the bottom of the 10th, and the pitch here is outside for ball number four, and now the go-ahead runner is on first for the Rafters. So it brings up Mason Oñate with runners on the corners and one out in the bottom of the 10th. And before that happens, it's going to be a mound visit for the pit spitters, and it looks like the Rafters are indeed going to go with a pinch runner, I believe. We'll wait and see as Ziggy is going over to talk with home plate umpire Logan Ellenwood. And after that, looks like we're ready to go. And well, Costin's still over on first base for now. So maybe they're not pinch running for him. The mound visit is over with. Mason Oñate at the plate. And yes, they are indeed pinch running for him as Eric Parker comes into the game at first base. Pinch runner for the Rafters is Eric Parker. And Eric Parker really hoping to redeem himself after he has really struggled the last two games. He's on first base. He's been caught stealing twice, but has five successful attempts. As this pitch is a little low for ball number one to Oñate. And Oñate, now a 1-0 count. He has reached three times today. He's 2-for-4 from the plate with an RBI double from the second inning. He's also scored one run. Pickoff attempt back to first, and Parker dives back in just in time. Head first dive. And well, Parker from the University of Georgia, he was a pinch runner for the Bulldogs, who were ranked number 10 in the nation. So that's one thing he certainly can do. It's run the bases. Hoping to do so well here. Runner on third base and first base. 1-0 count on the way home. It's a pop-up. Hoping that it'll reach the rat trap, and it is going to. Bounces off a table. And one of the fans up there nearly fell off his stool. And it bounces high off that table. Those are some heavy-duty tables if there ain't a dent in it. 1-1 count to Mason Oñate. One away in the bottom of the 10th inning. The go-ahead runner is on first, the tying runner on third. Oñate trying to at least tie it, if not take the lead. 1-1 count. It is low for ball number two. And he'd be more than okay with a walk here. Would push the runner from first over to second, and that's the go-ahead run. That's the one that matters. 2-1 count with one out in the bottom of the 10th. Oñate at the plate. He pops this one straight back and out of play. 2-2 count on deck, Noah Ruiz. Ruiz already has a walk-off hit this season. And there's plenty of storylines to watch here, but the Rafters, first off, they are down on the scoreboard. It's 7-6. They need to tie it up before they can think about winning this ballgame. A 2-2 count. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Oñate at the plate. He swings, sends one over to first base, and that one gets on through into right field. The Rafters have tied it up at 7. Parker rounding second for third, and he is in there. Head first dive, and the go-ahead runner is 90 feet from scoring. Mason Oñate, his third hit of the game. He ties it 7-7 in the 10th. RBI single, his second RBI of the game. As Eric Parker goes to third base on it. And Chris Diaz comes home to score. One out and runners on the corner. Ziggy having a chat with Noah Ruiz and taps him on the head, says, "This is what you're made for." The man who leads the Northwoods League in RBIs steps up to the plate, looking to walk it off for the Rafters. We are tied at 7. Runners on the corners. One out, and Onyade is going to waltz on over to second. Defensive indifference. This pitch is a little high for ball number one. A 1-0 count. And Onyade now at second base. His run doesn't matter, but it does take away a potential double play. Parker is over at third. He is the winning run. 1-0 count on the way. Swing and a miss from Ruiz. Really just needs to put this ball in play and not have it be a pop-up. Anything to the outfield will win this game. And a grounder in the infield probably will with the quick runner at third. 1-1 count with one out. And Ruiz holds off on the pitch. It's low and outside for ball number two. On deck, if it gets there, it's Gunnar Myro. And Myro, he has reached base all five times. He saved this game, nailing the runner at home from a throw in center field. And would only be justice. 2-1 count. It's a swing and a miss from Ruiz. Of course, Ruiz has already walked off a game, so he's got the experience. But if he doesn't, you feel pretty dang good about Gunnar Myro coming up. Rafters hoping to end it here. It's tied 7-7 in the bottom of the 10th. A 2-2 count with one out. Runners on second and third. He swings and misses at strike number three, and Ruiz can't come up clutch here. And it brings up Gunnar Myro, who needs a hit to send the fans home happy, or a walk to keep it alive. Runners on second and third. We are tied at 7 in the bottom of the 10th. The fans are letting them hear it. They're stomping their feet and getting loud. The first pitch to Myro, he swings and misses. 0-1 count on the mound. Ricky Kidd looking to get out of this inning. But Gunnar Myro in his way. Myro is 2-for-2 with 3 walks today. He scored a run in the 9th inning. He was the run that tied it up and sent us to extras. 0-1 count home. It is in there. Strike number 2 on the breaking ball that hits the upper part of the zone. Myro already has 2 RBIs from his single in the 2nd inning. But the Rafters down to their last strike in the 10th inning. Don't want to see the 11th. Not it at 7. The 0-2 count on the way. It's outside for ball number 1. A 1-2 count to Gunnar Myro. Myro, a right-handed hitting center fielder for the Rafters. It's a righty-righty matchup. And he's picked up a hit in all 4 of his games now. But hoping for the biggest one of them all. The 1-2 count, it is a little high for ball number 2. And it moves 2-2 the count. Man, those pitches have not missed by much from Ricky Kidd. As the home plate umpire, Logan Ellenwood, has to say something to him. And quickly, a mound visit here from the pitching coach for the hit spitters. Got to calm him down here after, well, a couple of close strike calls that didn't go his way. And, well, this is a huge moment for both the Rafters and the pit spitters. The pit spitters this season, I mean, they're on a 2-game losing streak at 9-11, trying not to drop 3 games below 500. It is a tight race over there in the Great Lakes East. But in the Great Lakes West right now, the Rafters sitting tied with Lakeshore for 5th place in the subdivision. Need a win here to stay pace or go ahead in the standings. 2-2 count to Gunnar Myro with the go-ahead runner at third and another runner at second. 2 outs, and the pitch, it's a swing and a miss, and that does it for the 10th inning. One more inning of baseball coming your way here from WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Care about, except for this one tiny thing.
Right. And You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
And we welcome you back to Witter Field as it is the top of the 11th inning, but we will hold on 1 second as the general manager for the Rafters, Ken Day, is going to have a talk with the umpires. There is an incoming storm that could be on the lookout here as we are tied at 7, but this game still not completed. We have gone through 10 innings, and you were hoping that the game would be finished by this time. It is reaching on 4 hours. This game got started exactly at 6:35. We are at 3 hours and 50 minutes, and looks like we're going to be ready to go on here as the Rafters will turn back to Alejandro Morales for the top of the 11th inning. And the Rafters, they tied it up in the bottom of the 10th, but they had the go-ahead runner at third base with only one out, and back-to-back strikeouts of Noah Ruiz and Gunnar Myro ended the game. So it'll be the top of the 11th here, and it'll be Hunter Herndon on second base and a pinch runner that becomes pinch hitter here from Alfredo Velasquez. He pinch ran for Nathaniel Coupe in the 9th inning. And time called here as the Rafters general manager will call time, and it looks like that means that we are bringing the tarp out onto the field. So this game is officially entering a delay in the 11th inning. Can't finish it here, and the Rafters were hoping to get out of the game, but everyone heading back to their dugouts as we hit a delay. So, well, we're going to go ahead and hit a quick break until we figure out what's going on. I'll be back on the air in a quick second here on WFHR Wisconsin.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Well, back at Witter Field here, got a little bit of clarification. There is no rain right now. However, it's a lightning delay. There was lightning in the area, which means that officially we have entered a delay, which I believe is a 15-minute delay. officially every time that lightning strikes within the area. So at least 15 minutes, but with this incoming storm, it might be a little bit longer that we have to wait here. So it's kind of a sit and standby moment as we wait to hear on the finish of this game. It's currently tied 7-7, entering the 11th inning. It'll be the top of the 11th when we come back, and it'll be Alfredo Velasquez up at the plate with Hunter Herndon on second. That's where we're sitting at, and quickly, rain coming down out of nowhere, and so we're going to have to close up here as it starts on coming down, the storms in the area. So we'll bring in the crowd mic here and bring down the windows here as it's in the 11th inning, and so the game officially under a delay as the update on the field and the time for return is still up in the air. We're hoping to figure out as much information as we can get in advance, but kind of sitting and waiting. And so in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and return us to a quick break, and hopefully I'll have more when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Radio.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Well, a quick update for you on the game. The tarp is officially coming onto the field, which means I'm going to have to hit us to a quick break. We will return you to normal programming, and when we come back, more Rafters baseball. I'll give you an update in about 20 or so minutes, hopefully, so stick around. We'll be back after this on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight storm chance, highs upper 70s to around 80. More storms likely on Wednesday.
Right now it's 73.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area recaps last weekend's state Democratic convention and reaction to his column about Governor Evers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Gal B, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 10 o'clock, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the recombobulation area. He was also at the Democrats' big convention in Wisconsin over the weekend. We have a new DNC leader here in Wisconsin.
Yep. We will talk about that.
We will talk about that.
And give our thoughts.
and many other things when Dan Schaefer joins us after 10 o'clock. Right now, though, we did want to talk about all of the turnout over the weekend. Massive, massive turnout.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing how different outlets are spinning this. Some outlets are saying thousands of people rallied in No Kings rallies. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of thousands of people out. Yeah. Across our country on Saturday.
And big ups to Wisconsin. I think it's like over 60,000 total from 17,000 in Madison, 15,000 Milwaukee to 300 in Spooner.
Oh, that's awesome. It's
like I'm all about the protests, but when Spooner brings in 300, Spooner I'm like, shows yeah!
up. Spooner shows up. If you were at one of the rallies, 855-752-4842. We would like to hear from you. What was it like on the ground? What did you hear from other folks you were talking to? Favorite signs?
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to hear some of the favorite signs you saw at the No Kings rallies on Saturday.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The Washington Post says across the country, relatively few disruptions reported during protests and marches where the mood ranged from joyful to defiant.
Yeah. I saw one story about the police intervening a Proud Boy who was at one of the rallies trying to ruffle the feathers. And one of the protesters, a friend of mine, was at Milwaukee protesting, and she said there was a guy in Trump gear trying to
cause problems,
be a rabble rouser. He rouses rabbles, and they weren't taking the bait. It's when people mobilize like this, we've seen before. You know, yes, things can happen. They don't represent the whole, and I don't like seeing that ever. I mean, unless you're storming January 6th and you guys are weird. But this was a peaceful protest and people aren't going to take that bait. They're going to look at you and be like, you're hilarious. I got things to do, like try to save this democracy.
I actually saw some footage from, I believe it was in Los Angeles from Saturday again. And someone had started a fire near some bike racks.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people who were marching ran over to the fire and put it out with their water bottles.
Yeah. There you go. And there were great instructions on how to be a peaceful protest. There was training involved available online. So that way, because it's not unlike groups to say, hey, let's throw some bad actors in there to cause some problems and then we can blame it. And they had methods of taking care of that, filming the person, sitting down so they were the only one being seen. There's a ways of handling it. So a guy wearing his MAGA hat, it's cute, but they're not going to stop for you. They're just going to keep going.
855-752-4842. If you were at one of the No Kings protests over the weekend, we would love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. Lori from Shawano is on the line. Good morning, Lori. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. I was at the Shawano protest. So there was one sign that a lady had that said, and people think that women are too emotional to be president. And another lady had one that said something like, grow a pair of breasts and get something done. Those are my two favorites.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I, And I had just a bag of garbage. It was a Doge bag. I wrote that on there. If I had any artistic talent, I would have had like a stick with Elon Musk's face on it. But people asked me what was in the bag. I said, just trash and ketamine. And I said, and afterwards, I'm going to throw it in a Trumpster dumpster. So
there you go.
And we did have some hecklers. But
did you?
Yeah, there was like two or three guys. And one guy went over to talk to him. But yeah, he was yelling about abortion. And it's like, yeah, and have you used birth control every time you've had sex? And did your part prevent unwanted pregnancies? I doubt it. Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, people were kind of paying attention to him and yelling back at him. I wish they wouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But
well, but so, nothing happened. Overall, it was very peaceful, Lori.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there were a lot more people than I thought, but yeah, no throwing punches, you know, yell once in a while, but nothing horrible.
Appreciate awesome. It. Thanks so much, Lori. Really appreciate you checking in, Lori from Shawano, who is at one of the No Kings marches on Saturday, 855-752-4842. We would love to hear from you as well. Adam from Oregon, my wife and I brought our 3-year-old son and 19-month-old daughter to the protest in Madison. Great energy all around. A lot of people stopped to thank us. We're bringing our kids.
That's fantastic. We love seeing that. We love seeing that. And Tom from LA has sent us a few texts here. By the way, if you want to text your experience, 855-752-4846. 855-752-4846. And you can also you can leave a comment on the live stream as well. One of the pictures has a young lady holding a sign that just simply, this is a reference to the presidential debate from 2024 when, you know, we cared about Springfield, Ohio. That was the biggest news story. Didn't that seem like a decade ago, Jane?
It does.
But she's holding a sign that says, they're eating the checks, they're eating the balances. I love that one.
That's great.
And then another one, it says, I should be at home reading a dystopian novel, not living in one.
Well, and hello that, and welcome that gives back me,
I got goosebumps reading that because it's
that's a good one.
Starting, it's I'm feeling Austin more Thomas and more like that, and I don't like it.
Cassandra on the live stream, I saw one on Facebook that had a bunch of different colored balls glued to a poster, and it said, hey, Congress, I've got some balls for you to use.
Field is in good condition at the moment. Not what here, but officially,
Jenny on the live stream, best sign of the weekend, protest because moment. It's easier
previously
than hiding in your neighbor's
delay.
Attic.
Now we are under there a rain go. Delay. That is why the tarp is on the field. And I don't have
you know,
much of an update outside of that.
I was very,
other than
very
that, we are
proud.
Currently in a delay.
Let's see here. Jenny also put 71,000 in Wisconsin. 1.2% of the state was out protesting.
7-7
that's,
in the 11th
that's a big
inning.
Turnout.
Well, we that's a great that turnout. And as Lori just put it, like, it wasn't just Milwaukee,
guys,
Madison,
apparently.
Green Bay.
It was Spooner.
Spooner. Shawano. It was all over the state. And whether it was a couple hundred or quite a few thousand. People are really showing their support, and I would love to know.
Well,
you know, one of the
either
things
way,
very,
it was a lot of fun to get to.
Very curious
to see
about is of those
and,
individuals who
well,
are protesting. How many of those people
game still is
voted for Donald
delay,
Trump and now
and
say
so,
this was a bad idea?
That,
how many of those people voted for Donald Trump the first time he said I made a mistake? And it's not in a matter of I told you so. It's a matter of okay.
The tarp is on
as,
the field, but the field
Will Westmoreland said, I'm not asking you to tell me you're wrong. I'm asking you to tell
by.
Me you were lied to.
The area,
and then once you realize that,
in,
you stand up with
delay.
The masses
likely
and say no
more.
PJ,
on the live stream, when I arrived
tonight.
At the Oshkosh rally, there was a small group of people walking and talking out loud, trying to claim that protesters were being paid. I snapped back at them saying, I wish I was. Yeah, it's... And that's the automatic go-to, too. It's like people couldn't possibly feel motivated enough on their own by what is happening in our country to get out of their house on a Saturday and make a sign and go protest. No, they must be getting paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is a disconnect for some reason.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, people are passionate about this. People care about the state of democracy in our country. Does that shock you?
It is. You know, I am not an expert in this topic, but I've watched enough videos and read interviews with people who are experts on the topic of cults. And one of the things that goes into that proves that this movement is more cultish than it is patriotic or American or whatever you want to call it, is the fact that anytime you present the information that is verified and it is true, the immediate response is to say, that's not true. You made that up. I watched a young man show a Trump supporter a video of Trump talking about how he walked into the dressing room during Miss Teen USA. And the man's first response was, that's AI.
There's always an explanation. There's always an excuse.
There's always a reason to deny reality. And that's the problem. And that's one of the hardest things about trying to. In any other situation, Jane, I would never respond to people on my social media who are throwing whatever.
Throwing bombs.
Yeah. But one of them is a family member. And I don't want to yell at him. I don't want to fight with him. I just simply want to say, look, you posted this. It's been 72 hours since it happened. Here is some real information that is verified through multiple news sources. You don't have to believe it, but it exists here and you cannot deny it. Even though he told me, well, anything I say that I have proof of, quote, and then for those listening on the radio, I got air quotes on proof. He says, you won't believe either. And I know it's a hard discussion to have because no matter what we say, no matter who it is, it's always an immediate denial of reality. That's what they have to do, and that makes them feel better because they know in their heart of hearts that you are wrong.
They're right.
They are right, and they are really doing the work now of God because that is where we've gotten. And you remember this. In 2016, when he ran on 2015, when it was 2016, there was no talk of like a divine coronation, but now they've created this idea that he is chosen by God as a flawed leader because he's not perfect.
Right. He's Cyrus. Yeah.
He is a human.
Right.
So that's the problem is that that is what makes me think that this is cultish behavior because they just cannot get past reality.
855-752-4842. Talking about the No Kings protests over the weekend. If you have a special sign that stuck out that you would like to share with us, we'd love to see it. 855-75-CIVIC. Liz from Saukville. My husband and I went to Port Washington, 100 to 200 people. West Bend, about 900 people. Peaceful fun and great turnout for WOW counties. One of my favorite signs, honk if you've never drunk texted war plans.
Yeah. That one's good. Tom from LA giving us a lot of great ones here. These are all signs that he saw. Fox News as elder abuse. I've never thought of it in those terms.
In that context?
Yeah. A young man whom I'm assuming is of Latino heritage is holding a sign in the colors of the Mexican flag that say, my people feed your family. Ooh, yeah.
855-752-4842. If you were at a protest over the weekend, we would love to hear from you. When we return, I want to talk. There were a couple of things going on Saturday.
Really? Wait.
There were the No Kings protests.
Yeah.
There was a parade in Washington.
Who was that for?
It was an ego parade for the President of the United States. We're going to talk about that in comparison to the No Kings marches. That's all coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about the Neil King's protests around the country. Number you just saw right before we came back on the air, what, 11 million?
11 plus million, yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that too. I'm going to say it louder so mainstream media can hear it. Stop saying thousands.
Yeah.
Stop saying thousands. It makes it sound so tiny.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And we were talking about some of the better signs that were at some of these protests. A listener on WXCO says, I can't get into the live chat, but one sign I saw said, IKEA has better cabinets.
I'm looking at one of two people. They look like they're dressed as tacos. That's nice.
Nice.
And she has a sign that says, this sequel sucks.
Another good one. Big parade today because therapy was too hard.
Yeah.
An Asian American woman standing with a sign that says, you made an Asian stand in the sun, you monster. Another sign from one of Saturday's protests. Somebody please blend his bronzer.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up because that is one thing where I look like he's truly being taken care of people who don't care about him, because there's got to be someone who's like, come here, let's just fix it up. And honestly, I'm going to take 10 seconds here. Let him be gray, because I've seen him with grayer hair and it looks natural and it looks nice on him. It looks normal on him.
Do you think he takes the advice of anyone?
No, but tell Ivanka.
That's why his bronzer looks the way it does.
Tell Ivanka to tell him. He'll listen then.
And speaking of that, here's another sign from Saturday. If Melania doesn't have to live with him, why do we? So, yes, while the protests were going on around the country, Trump's big ego parade happened on Saturday in Washington, D.C. Lots of empty bleachers.
Lots of not people.
Lots and lots of empty bleachers.
Yeah,
it was pretty amazing.
I mean, I think it was pretty... I am not surprised. I would have been surprised if a lot of people showed up, because you didn't hear regular folks saying, we're making the trek, we're going there, we're going to go watch the parade. The network stations weren't carrying it.
Right.
Some cable networks did carry it.
Right.
But and that says a lot when they're not going to preempt their Saturday afternoon programming, which is generally not that involved.
What is it, badminton on Saturday afternoons?
Badminton on ESPN 7. Right. But yeah, I mean, I really wasn't surprised at all. I mean, this goes to show that I believe personally that when you take all of the people who are mega, super mega, dark mega, if you will, Elon Musk, is they don't really care about this movement. They don't care about the man as much as they do the talk and the owning the libs and getting the reaction and doing all the things, because if they were that like
hardcore
and into him, they'd have been there. Millions, 2-3 million celebrate. And also you throw on top of this, the 250th anniversary of the Army. It's everything they talk about, patriotism, the military, love, backing the blue, what all that stuff they claim to love. They don't really love it because they don't go to these events. They don't support him in that fashion, but they'll get on the internet and type away.
Be a keyboard warrior.
Yeah.
I also have to wonder if enough folks who are his supporters have been burned by them in the past. I don't know, leaving them after a rally and not giving them a way to get back.
I forgot about that.
Little things like that.
Yeah.
That might have kind of kept people away a little bit. But the one thing that really stood out to me, I feel really badly for our troops.
Absolutely.
In the photos that I've seen and the videos that I've seen, it does not look like they were all gung-ho to be there. You ripped them away from their families on Father's Day weekend, for one thing.
Yeah.
And...
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello and welcome back into Witterfield as we're still here at the Rafters home stadium in Wisconsin Rapids, as we have yet to receive any further update. At the moment in time, we are still under a weather delay, and well, this rain delay that they've called is still going to be underway for at least another 15 to 30 minutes, and that's before we can return to the game. It's 7-7 in the top of the 11th inning. We have yet to start the 11th inning, so waiting for the official call to figure out when we will return to play. And at the moment, still tied 7-7 and hoping for a further update soon, but the Lightning is out there right now and still very bright in the horizon line. And I mean, it's tough to know exactly when we're going to get back to play. There is 30 minutes after each Lightning strike within the area before we can return. Plus, the tarp is on the field at the moment. So plenty kind of holding us back from getting into play, at least at the moment. We're still hoping to return to play later tonight. At the moment, it's crossing 11 o'clock. This is WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We appreciate you staying tuned in throughout this long, long night as we are about to get into the late, late hours of this one. And the Rafters still trying to get the win and end their four-game losing streak. And, well, it's going to take some time before we can get back on the field. And, well, I'm going to give it 20 minutes. And we'll return with more news, hopefully. Actually, we're gonna give it a full 25 minutes. We're going to say 11:25. That's when we're coming back, unless, of course, I hear something else, in which case I'll come back on earlier as well as at 11:25. So I'll be both on the air at whenever I hear something else and at 11:25. So stay tuned for the earliest notion of when we'll return to play, or tune back in at 11:25. And until then, we are going to return back to regular programming here on WFHR. And when we come back, it's more Rafters Baseball for you here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. President Trump says he'll leave the G7 summit in Canada early to return to the White House. CBS's Pauline Smolinski says before the announcement, he made a startling statement.
He posted an ominous and cryptic message on social media. He said, quote, "Iran should have signed the deal I told them to sign. What a shame and waste of human life. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran."
Israel and Iran continue their attacks on one another in what's now the fifth day of fighting. CBS